Fresh Air on PANJRadio.com. I'm your host, Marie Jackson. A timeshare for many of us is a vacation spot, a break from the routine, a place to go for a change of scene, or a time out from the to-do list. Afterward, we return feeling refreshed, energized, rested. The timeshare you just tuned into can be seen as that kind of time out from your schedule, a place to take a break and a breath. Then you can go back to your day renewed. Every Thursday from noon until 1, we discuss and explore the subject of metaphysics. Metaphysics is a field of philosophy addressing the nature and spirit of being, existence, time, space, and causality. It bridges the gap between science and faith. On the phone with me live from California is my guest, Priya Rana Kapoor, published author of Give Yourself Permission to Live Your Life, which New York Times bestselling author Sean Acker tells us is an insightful and compassionate book for the individual who struggles with wanting to make everyone else happy, but who neglects their own self-worth and joy. In Priya's own words, our lives can look pretty good from the outside, but on the inside, we have this feeling of unhappiness, of not being fulfilled. She sees how self-worth, a sense of control and confidence can be missing from the lives of so many of us, even though to everyone else, we look like we have it all together. Priya's motivation for writing this book came from the clients in her coaching practice and from her deep, abiding belief that everyone is entitled to know they matter, to be honored for who they are, and supported in living their own best life. Priya comes to this realization honestly, having lived through personal difficulties of her own, including losing her home as a child and later being diagnosed with a debilitating disease. Through process, hard work, and a determination to thrive, Priya can see many of the early obstacles in her life as steps along the way to her own personal success. And now she's helping others to do the same through her book and her practice. She's going to share some tools and exercises that will give you permission to live your life the way you want to, and have some fun along the way. If you have a question or comment for Priya, you can text me at 215-470-1288. Hello, Priya, and welcome to Timeshare.
Oh, hello, Marie. Thank you so much for having me.
I love the cover of your book. The word permission is superimposed over an image of the whole planet. And that is so symbolic, isn't it? You give yourself permission and the world is yours. Why is it so hard for us to give ourselves permission? It seems so simple, but it really isn't, is it?
No, and I had a lot of clients in the beginning when I would say to them, well, give yourself permission to do that. And they would say to me, well, I do give myself permission. Why wouldn't I give myself permission? That's stupid. And of course you give yourself permission, but really people don't. And I think it comes from fear. Fear of what other people will think. Fear if you get it wrong. Fear if, you know, that you fail. So I think that's why a lot of people don't give themselves permission. And they maybe haven't been given permission in their own lives to be themselves, because they've always had to go to a certain socioeconomic standard or a certain family standard.
All of that fear takes us to a very, in my mind anyway, a very fundamental feeling of doubt. We're given that mm-hmm. sense of doubt early on in our lives, and it's linked to things like shame and not measuring up and not being worthy enough, and that stuff is really hard to uproot, isn't it?
It is very difficult to uproot. And we learn it, that's the thing. It is learned behavior, because the chances are pretty good that we're getting it from the people around us, not blaming anybody. But we learn those kind of feelings of shame and those kind of feelings of doubt or not being worthy or not being good enough from those around us. They either have those same feelings or they put judgments on you, on the child or whatever it is. And so it is hard to shift those, but it really comes down to personal responsibility, and we are responsible for everything we think, feel, and do. So it's up to us, like it or not. It's hard, but only we have the power to shift that kind of thinking.
I see. The whole time I was reading your book, I felt like that you were speaking mostly to women. But as I read through it a second time, the lessons that you gave us and the tools that you gave us and the history that you gave us really applies to men and women equally. I was listening to it through a woman's brain, but then the more I read into it, the lessons and the tools that you give us can really work for anyone.
It's true. And actually, I've got to say, because in my practice, I work mostly with men.
You do.
Not that I don't work with women. Sorry, go on.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Anyhow, I work mostly with men. And I really like working with men because I think there's a real space for them to express themselves. I try and give them the space to express themselves, which doesn't normally organically happen in everyday life. Mm-hmm. Men try and be strong. They're the providers. And I'm being stereotypical. But that is what happens. And they don't think they have a place to express their fears safely. And so that's why I work mostly with men. And this is why a lot of my examples in the book are from men as well, is because that's what I've heard, the need. But then it translates into women.
So. And in your book, then you give the men permission to be honest with their own feelings. And that honesty, you provide a safe place for them to be honest with that. So then you can really get to the heart of things and you can start to fix the things at a very fundamental level.
Right.
You've had some real turning points in your life bringing this to the work that you're doing now. And in the retrospect, those turning points came in the form of the right person at the right time. And as we go through our lives, sometimes we don't recognize the traits that we need to look for in the people that we put around us so that we know who to trust. Can you address that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So the thing is, sometimes you don't know that they've made a difference in your life until well afterwards. So the first level is being grateful for the people around you and seeing the good that they bring to your life, but that you also bring to theirs. So it's a symbiotic relationship. It's a give and take relationship with most people. Now, some people are complete takers, and then you have to reevaluate at that point whether that is the right person in your life. But everybody has a lesson to teach you, I think. But sometimes we don't know it until way afterwards when we connect the dots. And so for me, I tell the story in the book, it came as one of my bosses when I got sick, he came to visit me and he changed my life. And I knew it at the time. I thought, wow, if he sat with me for 4 hours, I must be worth something. But it took quite a bit of time for me to understand what that meant for me, what I had to do to understand I was worth something, because someone had given that permission to me on the outside. I now had to give it to myself.
I see.
And so what I do with my clients a lot of the time is have them write lists of people that believed in them from 20 years, from whenever. And I'll tell you, it's shocking how long and how deep those lists can go. If you start thinking of one person, you start thinking of another, you start thinking of another. And this is not to prove to anybody that you're worthy. It's actually to prove to yourself that you are. And you can do this in a very quiet way. I did it for myself. I wrote this list. I was really down. I wrote this list of people that had believed in me, the people that had given me a helping hand when they didn't have to. And I hadn't recognized it before. And then when I started writing this list, I was like, oh my goodness, I really have to step up to the mark. And that wasn't a pressure thing. That was feeling in awe of the love and the support that I had been given over the years and the feeling like I had to contribute back into the world.
And sometimes when we're not asked to do that, we don't really pay attention to it. Because as I was going through your book, I thought, okay, I'm going to make my own list. And I started with when I was a little tiny kid, how my grandfather looked at me when I walked into a room, what my first grade teacher said to me when she saw me in the supermarket, and a little bit at a time, this list, as you said, kept growing and growing, and I was making all these wonderful little notes, and I thought, oh, I didn't remember that. Oh, I forgot about that. So that's a really important exercise that we commit to doing it, and then once we do it, we watch how it grows, and it kind of reinforces us.
Oh, yeah, I just got goosebumps all over. I know that sounds crazy, but that was so, I just could see your grandfather looking at you when you walked in the room. Yeah. And that it comes with emotion and feeling when you write that list. It's not only academic. it is part of awareness, but also it brings in emotions, which are really good to feed the soul. So
yes.
Thank you for sharing that with me. That really lovely.
Well, it meant a lot to me when I was going through it, because it's the kind of thing where you say, yeah, I'm grateful. I know these people helped me. But when you really make it an effort and you make the list and you start to look at how it grows, you get to see how your own life unfolded. And it's beautiful the way. One of my favorite chapters in your book is clearing out what others have said. Gosh, that's tough. That is tough work.
Right.
Because those tapes keep playing around and around in our head. And I have also worked with clients, and this one particular client would say to me, oh, you know, but my father said to me, yes, but your father has been gone for 15 years. And it's really hard to clear out those tapes, those early messages, that early imprinting. One of the things that you do in your book is help us to define forgiveness. And you have a little tool called the Letting Go Box. Can you tell us a little bit about the Letting Go Box? That was a fun exercise for me.
What I feel like is that we can have these things go around in the brain. And can I tell you a little story that happened to me this morning?
By all means, please.
And it has relevance.
Okay, please do.
I have this thing going around. I have this issue going around and around and around in my brain, and I'm feeling bad about it and all this sort of stuff.
Oh,
and it's so funny because I was like, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? So I got some cards, oracle cards that I have, and I shuffled them, pulled it out, and it said, let it go.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, I can't believe it. This is what I write about. This is what I talk about to clients. And yet here I am having all this experience, whatever, you know.
But that's so valid. That's so validating
for
you.
I have to have the oracle card tell me to let it go.
But it's so validating, because even those of us who practice it all the time still have to work at it.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, my goodness, this happened because of what our interview today and Marie. And I know this is something we want to talk about. And so the letting go box exercise is a visualization, because sometimes it's difficult just to let it go. So I think visualizing letting an issue or a saying, something horrible that someone said to you, they did say something horrible, you know, and that is the reality of it. But it's only poisoning you if you let it go around and around and around in the mind, or it's poisoning me, any of us. And so it's physically, but emotionally and visually letting it go. And so what I do is a guided imagery and meditation that you can get on my website as well, and it's in the book, and you can record it for yourself, about putting this hurt or issue or whatever it is into a box and then throwing it off the side of a cliff. And so it's really physically putting it away in a box, putting the bow on. I'm a big fan of metaphors and visual stuff. So this works with people a lot. Just get it away. Let it go. Because when we extend that to forgiveness, I'm not a big fan of forgiveness. And everybody goes, what? And I think forgiveness comes organically on the back end of letting things go. Because it's really hard to forgive someone when you still are holding on to the hurt, the shame, whatever it is. Or forgive yourself even. It's just because there's a component of letting yourself off the hook or letting other people off the hook when you force yourself into forgiveness. So if you let the issue go and live in love and just live organically, it will come about, because it won't have the charge.
Well, help me understand then your definition of forgiveness, because forgiveness to me is not exoneration. It's not absolution. And that's what a lot of people think forgiveness is. To some of us, forgiveness is just letting go. Can you help us understand the difference between those two for you?
Well, I think it depends on where you are and how you come to it. I think in the beginning, it's really, really difficult. In the beginning of spiritual growth or whatever, or self-awareness, or the beginning of the hurt, right after it happened, no matter how advanced we are, I think in the beginning, it's hard to forgive, because at the core level, you hurt so much. And you don't want to say, okay, I'm going to let you off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And I know advanced is not that, but I think in the core of everybody, it's that there is that bit of, wow, I'm letting this go and I'm saying to them, you're okay.
Right.
No.
And it's a
so
bit,
to
it's
me,
a bit
forgiveness
of,
is what comes as a byproduct, where you're in a safe place. You're healthy, or I'm healthy in what's happened. I'm like, okay, you know what? This happened. It really hurt. Understanding the situation, understanding the role I played in it, and then moving forward. So forgiveness is moving forward.
I see, but it's respecting the wound for a time, because you're wounded, and it's entitled to some respect and attention, and attention.
I think you have to respect the wound, not dwell on it. But it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to think that was out of order. You know, it's okay to be angry.
And respect
it. But it's how you move forward from there. It's how you deal with it.
So the forgiveness comes, it's just not immediate. I understand.
Right.
I understand.
I think it's really hard to force forgiveness. Because I don't think, when you're forcing forgiveness, I don't think you've gone through the space of allowing yourself the hurt or the anger.
Right.
And honestly, that can be for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, where you write it out. This is what I'm angry at. I think journaling and writing is a really good way. I mean, I honestly will say, I think about, I probably wrote 40,000 more words in this book, and just to get it out, just to, you know, my editor looked at it, and I was heard, and that's all I needed, because I really do believe everybody needs to be heard.
Yeah,
everybody wants to be heard. And then I felt heard by her, and so I decided that's it. It's not going in the book. It's irrelevant. It's not going to help anybody else, but it's helped me.
This is lovely.
So I do think taking 20 minutes, taking 10 minutes to write it out and then burn it or whatever, it will help towards dealing with the feelings that you have around something egregious that's happened. And then forgiveness will come, and it can come quite quickly.
Lovely, lovely. Let me reintroduce you. You're listening to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com. I'm your host, Marie Jackson, and on the phone with me from California is Priya Rana Kapoor, and we're talking about her new book, Give Yourself Permission to Live Your Life. You can text me at 215-470-1288 with your questions or comments. You quote Voltaire in your book. I love this quote. What you say is, each player must accept the cards life deals him or her. But once they are in hand, he or she alone must decide how to play the cards in order to win the game. What guidance would you give to our listeners to create their own definition of winning?
I think that comes down to choice. And the last chapter of the book is Give Yourself Permission to Dream. And I think a lot of people don't know what winning means to them. And winning does not mean bungee jumping or climbing Mount Everest or whatever it is. It's what winning the game means to you. And if that's living by the ocean or having a job that you love or having a family that's healthy, I mean, those are winning things in life. But it's understanding what that means for you. And so, in the Give Yourself Permission to Dream Big, I say dream big, but I mean dream to where you are, to what's good for you, and you deciding and not having anybody else tell you what's good for you, what winning is for you. Because so many times we put ourselves up against everybody else. Winning is having a job in New York City in finance and making millions a year. Well, that's good for some people, but they're having to give up a lot of other things for that. I know, you know, whatever, but so we have a balance that comes in. And so what I do with clients for that one is I give them permission to dream big by working with vision boards for one thing. Some people like doing vision boards, and it's amazing the people I've had working on vision boards, men in, again, in finance or in property and things like that. They're like, what? this is arts and crafts. I'm like, no, it's not arts and crafts. It's a place for you to really see where you can go and what you like. So I say always dream big, and then you can bring it back to what's relevant for you. Not possible, because really a lot's possible, much more than you think. And that's why dreaming bigger sometimes can show you what you really want, and then you bring it into how it fits into your life. So I think vision boarding is a really great way of figuring out what winning is.
One of the things that that I'm hearing in my own head while you're talking here about this vision board and about finding the courage to give yourself permission is, we are meant, as human beings, we are meant to follow our heart. But somewhere along the line, we stopped. or we at least stopped valuing what we were getting from our mm-hmm. heart, and it became a habit. Can you address the habit part of not following our heart? You give some really interesting exercises and tools, but it gets to be a habit, and then we can't look beyond this very limited vision that we give for ourselves. That's what the vision board can help us do. But once we stop, it's hard to find the courage to keep going because we just got out of the habit of listening to our own heart.
Right, and the habit of not listening to ourselves has come about because we're comparing ourselves to other people. Mm-hmm. I think we look and say, oh, they're doing better. And my ex-husband said to me once, don't compare your insides with everybody else's outside.
I love that line. I read that in your book, and I had read it over two or three times. I think that is just so perfect. Don't compare your insides with everybody else's outsides. Can you elaborate right. on that? That's beautiful.
Yeah, because you don't know what's happening inside everybody else. You just don't know what's going on. And so they may look really good on the outside, and they may look absolutely all together and perfect and everything, but on the inside, they're really hurting. And so what you're comparing is your hurt from the inside with their glitz on the outside. And so that is a losing game. And so it's not comparing yourself with everybody else, and therefore, you know, then you are who you are, and you're whole, and you can start breaking those habits. Because the habits you put into place to protect yourself. And when you start feeling worthy and safe within yourself, then you don't have to put those habits in. You can break outside the box.
Excellent.
And that's, again, you know, giving yourself permission. That's breaking outside the box.
Before
and
we
sometimes
let me ask you to just hold on to that thought, because we're going to go to break. And I want
okay.
when we come back, I want you to go into how we break those habits.
Okay.
You're listening to Timeshare on PANJradio.com. I'm your host, Marie Jackson. Priya and I will be back in a few minutes. Please stay with us.